This podcast is brought to you by Thrill Geek Travel. Visit thrillgeek.com/travel and book your vacation now. Just fill out our free online quote form and our friends at MEI Travel will get right back to you. thrillgeek.com/travel. Now let's start the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry.
And we are back again. We're going to kind of change things up this week. We haven't really talked a lot of pop culture lately, and we have a little trailer out.
Just small independent film.
Yeah, you might have heard of it. It's a movie about a Star War. So we're going to chat about the Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker final trailer. And some other pop culture things, and we do got some quick hits for theme park news, so we're gonna fire through those here really quick and take care of those, and then we'll get into Star Wars and a few other things. So all right.
First up, Universal released new details about the Universal Beijing Resort.
Yeah, we got this resort's actually been under construction for a while. Quite some time, and I've seen pictures periodically of it on Twitter, and it's coming along. But we finally got Universal's been pretty hush hush officially on details. I'm sure I haven't really kept up to date on like the rumors and speculation for Beijing. But I'm sure stuff is, you know, as always, leaked out and whatnot. But we finally got some official details of the park, Universal Studios Beijing. And the lands that it's going to consist of, and I have them right here. We'll kind of go through them and briefly touch on them. The first one is Kung Fu Panda Land of Awesomeness. So Kung Fu Panda will be coming to Beijing. It'll be the world's first theme park land created with the Kung Fu Panda theme, and it really doesn't give too many other details. It'll feature the Jade Palace, the Panda Village, the Peach Tree of Heavenly Wisdom, and it says it'll feature stunning Chinese architecture, festive decor, delicious food, and captivating performances. So, it's good to see. You know, I think we'll get more DreamWorks with Epic Universe, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see Universal finally really embracing DreamWorks on a much grander scale than just, you know, attractions, and getting full-on lands. So that's exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's and this will be something that's unique to the Beijing Resort. And it's hard. The concept art is a little vague. When you look at like the concept art for the entire resort, it's sort of hard to tell what may be back in this area. We do know there's a show building back there, so we're assuming there is some sort of Kung Fu Panda either show or attraction going in there, and it'll be interesting to see how the whole land looks, because it is something that is unique to this resort. Moving on to the next location, Transformers Metro Base. This is the first time the Transformers are getting their own theme park land dedicated to the Transformers. There's a very interesting looking coaster in this land.
Yeah, very, very interesting looking coaster. I'm kind of skimming through the description right now. It says, Metro Base has selected this Energon-rich site to just outside the city of Beijing to serve as the Nest Beijing headquarters. And then it says the land is filled with Cybertronian architecture and advanced technology that creates an immersive experience that brings quote, guest agents into the world of Transformers like never before. But yeah, as Barry mentioned, for those of you, we got all the concept artwork of the Universal Beijing announcement up on ThrillGeek.com. So you can go check that out if you're listening and you kind of want to follow along with us here. The coaster in the picture is very similar to the Incredible Hulk coaster. So it looks like Universal is going to be cloning the Incredible Hulk coaster over in Beijing and giving it a Transformers theme. Although I did hear somebody say that this one is going to be, it's going to be slightly different. It's not going to be 100% a clone. But I forgot what people said. Is it going to be a little bit taller or something?
Yeah, and it's sort of interesting. I mean, for those of you who know the story of Hulk, B&M built the coaster, but they did not build the launch system for the ride.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, because since then, B&M has created launched coasters. So it'll be interesting to see if B&M is creating the launch system for this attraction.
I'm actually looking at a construction picture. I literally just Googled Beijing Hulk clone, and I got a really cool construction picture here. It looks like the Cobra roll, which for those of you that aren't coaster nerds, after you launch and you go into the twist at the top and then you dive down, it's the first big thing that you go through. The Cobra roll looks different. It looks more squished at the bottom, and then it kind of opens up at the top.
And I'm wondering if that is just the way B&M has changed the design. I feel like the design of their Cobra rolls have changed over
the
years.
They used to be very symmetrical.
Yeah.
And I've noticed over the last several years, they kind of squish in at the bottom, and then they kind of open up like a flower towards the top. And like you said, I don't know if that's something that they've just tweaked and finessed over the last couple years or so. But anyways, yeah, no, the Transformers Metro Base section sounds really cool. I'm curious to see how that all, how that pans out.
And also in the concept art, if you look there, there's a pretty big show building in that area too. So we're going to probably assume that may be the actual Transformers ride going into this, which would make sense.
Yeah, it would. That and the coaster, that'd be a pretty cool land. So moving on, of course, we're getting some Minion action at Universal Studios Beijing. Minion Land is coming. It says, inspired by Illumination Entertainment's Despicable Me franchise, Minion Land will be a fun, exciting, fun-filled world that is alive with characters and scenes from the films.
Yeah, it has, based on the concept art, it has a very boardwalk feel to it. There may even be, I mean, it's hard to tell if that's just, like, theming or there is actually a little, like, maybe family-style coaster in this section, in the Super Silly Funland section.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks like that might be an actual coaster.
Yeah.
A family-style coaster. But, you know, it obviously will be home to, we're assuming, to Minion Mayhem.
Should be a cute little land. I'm all for the Minions and everything. I know this looks like a really cute spin on the, a way to introduce them into the park and a whole land. Because I know Universal Studios Japan has a small Minion section.
Yeah.
So that's really the only, does Hollywood really doesn't have a Minion Land, do they? They have...
No, Hollywood does have a Super Silly Fun Land.
That's right. They have the little water park area, little splash pad. Yeah, that's right. They do.
Yeah.
So moving on, the other obvious addition, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade, will be coming to Universal Studios Beijing.
Yeah, and right now it looks like it'll be Flight of the Hippogriff. Even though there looks like there's a nice large land space next to it where Hagrid's could go maybe at some point, but then of course they'll be getting the other main attraction. And why am I going blank on it right now?
We're probably both tired. That's why. Forbidden Journey,
because of course they're getting Hogwarts Castle, and much like Japan, they are getting a lake in front of their Hogwarts Castle. So,
I'm so jealous. I love Japan's with the lake in front. It looks so cool.
I think the interesting thing is with the Wizarding World is, I guess one of the things that was originally rumored that this park would have, like from the beginning, both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley with the Hogwarts Express connecting them.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like they're just going to start with Hogsmeade. But there's definitely room, say, looks like there might be some room on the other side of the park.
Yeah.
One day to put Diagon Alley. But yeah, I mean, it looks like much like Japan's, looks like they're trying this Hogsmeade, at least based on the concept art. Looks like it may have a little bit of a wider area, especially in front of Hogwarts Castle, to deal with crowds. But yeah. It's not surprising that they're getting a Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Getting the boy wizard. And perhaps moving on here, I think this is probably the most interesting land in the whole park. Jurassic World, Isla Nublar, right?
Yes.
That's how you say it. I'm always afraid I'm going to murder that name. Jurassic World Isla Nublar is coming to Universal Studios Beijing. And I have a feeling that this section is going to feature a really cool ride that a lot of, if you look at the concept artwork at the top of our article, it shows a view of the whole park. And there's in the Jurassic World section, there's a huge show building.
It's a very big show.
Based
on the concept art, it's pretty close to the size of the Forbidden Journey show building.
Yeah. I'm hoping, and I actually heard some speculation online that this could be a long-rumored Jeep attraction. Obviously not the Jurassic Park Jeeps, but something similar.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of this whole Jurassic World section, because from the concept artwork, I don't see the River Adventure anywhere.
No, and I could see. I'm trying to remember the weather in Beijing is. I feel like they have like cool winters there. And you have that big show building, but you also have another building that looks like it's going to be, looks similar to the pterodactyl, aviary. So you could be looking at possibly at least two attractions.
The weather in the middle of Beijing is dry and chilly, with an average temperature of -2 degrees Celsius, 28 degrees Fahrenheit. So there you go.
During the winter.
Yeah, during the winter.
Yeah.
There's your winter Beijing weather report.
So yeah, because they're hosting. I mean, I know it's out in the mountains, but
yeah.
I believe they're hosting the Winter Olympics coming up here. So yeah, it does get cool there during the winter, and like I think Shanghai doesn't get as a little further south. So yeah, you definitely got that big giant show building, and looks like the possibility for at least possibly two attractions in that section.
The description's kind of vague. It just says, welcome to Jurassic World. Blah, blah, blah. At the end it says, feel the power of the Tyrannosaurus Rex, Velociraptors, Ankylosaurus. My dinosaur pronunciations are rusty. And then it says the fearsome Indominus Rex at Jurassic World Isla Nublar. So I think out of all the areas, I'm very curious to see this one, especially what's going to be inside that big show building. Because if they're getting an indoor Jurassic World ride, lots of cool things can happen. So I'll be curious to see what comes out of that. And then, of course, they announced Waterworld. The Waterworld stunt show is coming to Beijing, which was pretty surprising. It's a huge hit in Hollywood, so it's not that surprising, but it's really interesting to see that Universal's actually building another one. I guess yeah. that just shows how popular it is.
Well, I believe was it Japan or Singapore has Waterworld.
I can't remember.
It's always been like if for many of us here in Florida, like if we would say like what would be something from Hollywood that we would want. The Waterworld stunt show has always been one of those things that from Hollywood that we wish we had here.
Yeah.
It's also in Universal Studios Japan and Singapore.
Okay.
So it's sort of an anchor to an area that, you know, it's sort of vague about what else will be in that area. I've heard like dining and entertainment, but it's sort of an anchor to that area of the park. You know, the park will also have Hollywood Boulevard, which if you look at the concept art to the front of the park, there's some gigantic buildings.
Yeah.
You know, there's supposed to be this camera lights action show with I believe Steven Spielberg and who's the other director, and Zhang Yimou. There's that, and there, like I said, there's two pretty big show buildings in the Hollywood Boulevard area of the park. So there's definitely a lot of things. They sort of gave us a general idea of what is coming.
Yeah.
But if you look at that concept art, there's a lot of other stuff in that concept art that...
Yeah, just like kind of when Universal Orlando announced Epic Universe, you could sit there and dissect the concept artwork. It's the same thing for this Beijing concept piece. You can really zoom in and kind of explore it, and it's always fun to do that too when a big piece of concept artwork like this gets released. It's fun to go in and kind of scope it out and see what's going on. So
And they'll have their own city walk, there's two resorts including
the Universal Studios Grand Hotel,
which basically is the entrance to the park.
Yeah, and then the, I don't know if that's pronounced Nuo Resort Hotel.
Yeah.
So it'll feature two hotels. That's basically in a nutshell what we got from Universal in regards to Universal Beijing Resort.
And I believe their city walk will have a twosomes.
Oh yeah.
And allegedly Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Bubba Gump. All right, moving on. This announcement, surprisingly, it came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody was expecting this announcement.
We knew that another Sesame place was coming.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expected the announcement that was made. I guess I just made the announcement, but I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Spoiler alert. Thanks, Barry. No, yes. That's fine. SeaWorld announced on, what is today? Tuesday? On Monday? They announced that Sesame Place is coming to California in a rather interesting location.
Yeah, they are taking the Aquatica San Diego, which I think used to be Not Soak City before that. And it's interesting. They spent money converting it to an Aquatica, and then coming spring 2021,
it's going back to a theme park.
It's becoming it'll become Sesame Place.
I'm very curious. I'm like, is it going to be like a... Because obviously from the concept artwork, they're keeping some of the water slides there.
Yeah, that to me is the most interesting aspect of this park is, you know, it's going to run as Aquatica in 2020. And I'm assuming they'll, you know, begin construction, especially on the parts of it that are not, the theming that's not in the actual water park.
Yeah.
And then it'll become Sesame Place in spring 2021. I'll be interested to see how this park works because it does get chilly in San Diego.
Yeah.
If you've ever been, I've been there in August when like the high, if the wind, if if the winds are coming off the Pacific, especially at, I mean, at SeaWorld Park is, I forgot how, I mean, the Aquatica is, I think, not that far away from the SeaWorld Park. You know, I would have been there during August when the high was like 75 and at night it got down to like 50. So
75.
I know. I mean, there in a lot of places in Southern California, the water parks don't stay open year round. So I'm assuming during certain times of the year, the water park section is not going to be open. So I'm going to be interested to see how they do that. And are they going to adjust the ticket prices during certain times of year?
Yeah.
You know, obviously they're obviously going to offer, you know, passes with, I mean, I know they would already offer a pass with SeaWorld and Aquatica, so I'm assuming they'll offer a pass that will be SeaWorld and Sesame Place.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be interesting, one day tickets, do they lower the price during the times of the year that the water park, I'm assuming, is not running?
Yeah, no, that was one thing that I was really curious about, is how it's all going to pan out, because obviously they're keeping, because we see in the concept artwork, the monster mixer is a Cookie Monster water slide, which looks amazing.
Considering too, a lot of those water slides are not like kid water slides.
Yeah, and that's one right there, the Cookie Monster one. It's one of those big funnel ones that's kind of tipped on its side and you drop down into it and you go back and forth. That's one. But we also see like a carousel, and obviously lots of Sesame Street characters. And then
there's drop slides.
I'm not too familiar with Aquatica over there in San Diego,
but it's definitely, you know, a bunch of racing slides and stuff like that. I mean, I'll be interested to see if they already, I think, had a kids section and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's SeaWorld has said that they were going to add another SeaWorld Parks were going to add another Sesame Place.
Yeah.
And this, I'm assuming this was probably the easiest way, to add one. It'll be larger than the original Sesame Place, which is in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. But of course, the majority of this is taking up most of the space is a water park.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and they also mentioned that this will be a certified autism center, which is really cool because, as you just mentioned, the Philadelphia park is also one as well. And it says, staff-wide autism sensitivity awareness training will be completed prior to the park's debut. So that's really cool that they're doing that with this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be adding a bunch of family flat rides, you know, a family coaster that definitely will probably be Super Grover. They're going to be adding Sesame Street itself to the park. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works out, and like I said, how they run it. I mean, to me, that's going to be the more interesting aspect, is how they run this place. You know, because there will definitely, I would assume, be times of the year where the water park is not running. So,
yeah, no, that was my biggest curiosity with this park, was how they're going to operate it. And you brought up another good point of it being cool and chilly and how they're going to do that. So, but yeah, we got a surprise announcement. I don't think, like I said, I don't think anybody was expecting this announcement. So yeah, we'll be seeing more Sesame Street from SeaWorld, and obviously, you know, we got it here in Orlando now, and it's doing quite well. I was there for the new Halloween parade at the Orlando one, right here, and the Halloween parade's a lot of fun. They all dress up in their Halloween costumes, and they sing like cute little Sesame Street Halloween songs. I loved it. So that's going on now at the Orlando one. So anyways, moving on, this is kind of just a fun thing that I wanted to bring up to talk about. there was some Galaxy's Edge drama this week, involving the food at the Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo. For those of you that noticed it, Disney changed the names of the food back to their regular, what have you, their regular names. I'm trying to find some of them here. Like the shank roast basically got renamed to beef pot roast. What are the ribs called? The Cadu ribs?
Yes.
They got renamed to just basically smoked pork ribs. The fried Andorian tip-yip got renamed to fried chicken. So anyways, you get the idea. They replaced the fancy Star Wars names with basic food names. And social media, Twitter, Facebook, everybody, you know, this is what the big topic was over the weekend, wasn't it? 'Cause yeah.
Yeah, I mean the Star Wars names are still on there.
They just kind of flipped them. And I didn't notice that at first. I thought at first they completely eliminated it, but...
Because myself, Emily, and our new Thrill Geek contributor, Nolaine, and I hope I didn't say her name wrong. I screw that up all the time. But we were there Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we were at Docking Bay 7, and they had the name still had they're still the names are still on there. Fried Andorian tip yip, you know, all that stuff is still on there. But you know, there was the whole discussion, oh, we can't have nice things, and there's plenty of other foods at Disney that have weird names. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is their way to see, you know, if this is going to get more people to eat at Docking Bay 7, you know, because we've heard some things that it hasn't been as busy as they hoped it would be, which I don't know why, because it's probably the best quick service in Hollywood Studios. You know, almost everything, except the roasted chicken salad's probably been the only thing that's been weak so far out of anything we've tried.
Well, it's really interesting because apparently the Star Wars theme names came back and they flipped it back now.
Yeah.
Because that was discovered yesterday. So now the Star Wars names are back prominently. I think the smaller words are the regular names again. So it's interesting, you know, that like you said, people were saying like, oh, we can't have nice things and this and that, and you know, I never really asked your opinion. I was curious as to what you think about this.
You know, they could have been trying for a day to see something different. You know, there's still the physical menu boards still have the regular names on them.
Mm-hmm.
Still have like the fried chicken and then the Star Wars name in a smaller thing. But I guess what the LED screens are back to saying.
Yeah.
Some things, you know, it's I don't really care.
Yeah.
to be honest with you, and it's
there were some really hardcore Star Wars people that were really upset about it, you know, like they
I've got bigger things to be upset about. I mean, it eliminates
the immersion of Galaxy's Edge.
Well, you know, we've had this discussion about the cast members, and I hate to say there was one. And he was being very nice, but there was one cast member at Docking Bay 7 who was really trying to engage with us when we really just wanted to be left alone.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and bless his heart, he was being, you know, he was really trying.
Well, this is another really interesting thing, you know, and I won't spend too much time. We could save this for another episode.
Yeah.
The other really interesting thing about Galaxy Edge is how much is too much immersion, you know? Like, remember we had the whole thing with the bathrooms, you know, and when people would ask some of the cast
members, where's the refresher?
Yeah. And people would look at the cast members like they had 10 heads. So, you know,
yeah.
It's interesting. It's like, how much is too much immersion? Because not a lot of people know this stuff, you know?
You know, and like I said, it was really nice of him to really go all out.
Yeah.
But I don't think he wasn't very good at reading the room, and we were sort of like just wanted to eat.
And, he just wanted to be left in peace and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had, you know, varying levels of immersion when it comes to the cast members in the land.
Yeah.
You know, it's
It's interesting.
You know, on the attractions, I, you know, especially, you know, I mean, right now we only have Smuggler's Run. I expect them to better, they should be playing their role. On the attractions.
I better be slapped with immersion on Rise. Or,
oh yeah, and then Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance.
I mean, the immersion is to the level that cast members every day. You know, some of them will be First Order, and some of them will be Resistance. You know,
so that day at media preview when I got to walk inside the hangar bay, some of the First Order cast members, they were legit like in their roles. So
yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be really, really a lot. Like, probably this will now be the third attraction where at least if you're a First Order, you're not required to smile.
Yeah,
the way it is on Tower of Terror and Haunted Mansion, you're not required. You're actually not supposed to smile.
Yeah. So, anyways, it was an interesting topic. You know, it was the big thing everybody was talking about, the names changing. So I just wanted to kind of bring it up and chit chat about it for a few minutes. I think I can speak for Barry, Barry actually said it, you know, and myself, you know, we really don't care. You know, we have bigger things and, you know, to worry about. You know, is it cool? Yeah, you know, I like ordering with the Star Wars names. You know, it's fun. But if they go and change the names back to fried chicken and pork ribs, you know,
it's not like they changed the name of Moof Juice to Four Kinds of Fruit Juice. You know, I mean, it's not with alcohol or no, that's actually non-alcoholic. But you know, it's not. You know, it is what it is. I mean, we'll get on this on another episode, but. There's things that need to be changed in Galaxy's Edge. I could care less about the names.
Yeah, there's bigger fish that need to be fried in Galaxy's
Edge. But in another episode,
we can
go on for probably a good 15, 20 minutes about they need to come up with something on Smuggler's Run to explain to people that you have to do stuff on the attraction.
Yeah. But so
moving on.
Anyways, I think that's it for theme park stuff, but we're going to stay on the topic of Star Wars. And like I said at the beginning, we're going to chat about the final trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is a theme park and pop culture podcast, and we've been so theme park heavy lately in the past month and a half, and a lot of that has to do with just Halloween and Halloween Horror Nights and Hallow Scream and Dark Horizon.
Which is what we love, so thank you guys for dealing with our Halloween obsession.
But with, you know, here we go, Star Wars final trailer. You know, we've gotten the teaser trailer. We got the D23 behind the scenes that had like a few more shots in it, and now we're getting the final trailer. And you and I differed in opinion on this trailer.
You know, you saw my Twitter post, and I was just like, you know, it didn't do anything for me. As in, it didn't hype me up any more than I already was. I love the trailer. It was a pretty trailer, as always. J.J. Abrams does fantastic, you know, visuals. I enjoyed the trailer, but it didn't hype me up anymore for the movie than I already am. What hyped me up was the last trailer with Sidious's laugh.
Yeah, no,
that
I mean,
was not topped.
I feel
in this
trailer. This trailer wasn't about hype, and it was more about emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially the final four words of, you know, I'm not four, the final, you know, six words of the Force will be with you, as Luke said it, and then Leia says
always.
That tore most people apart.
Yeah, that was the big emotional mess moment of the trailer for a lot of people.
That and 3PO taking one last look at his friends, you know, there's all bunch of theories about that already.
Yeah, that was interesting, you know, because a lot of people, like, probably initially took it, like, as, oh, my God, is 3PO going to die? Or, you know, but I'm like, how can he die? He's a robot. Help me out here.
I think there's one theory going around that they're trying to find out stuff from back of the Old Republic when the Old Republic fell. And you remember, he gets his memory wiped.
Yeah.
At the end of episode 3, and so that's one of the rumors, is they're finding a way to go back in his memories, but it's going to cost him all his memories of...
It's basically going to wipe his memory.
It's going to wipe his memory again.
Yeah.
So that's there's the rumor.
So the trailer starts off with a lot of Rey, running.
Yeah, running through a forest, jumping through wreckage. I mean, it's
Do you think that wreckage was the Death Star that she was in?
I think that's the Death Star she's in, because, you know, we definitely see shots of her and Kylo Ren in what looks like was the throne room from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they show them fighting, but then they also show at least someone in Kylo Ren's mask destroying what looks like a memorial to Darth Vader.
Well, I thought that was his helmet.
Yeah, destroying the helmet.
Because when they hit it or whatever happens in that quick few seconds, it almost looks like it turns to, like, ash.
Yeah, so but I don't know if that's her dreaming. You know, same thing with, like, we saw the dark Rey from the previous, the D23 first look.
What did you think of the audio of... Because, you know, with these trailers, they do a lot of audio overlay with the scenes that don't pertain to that scene. What's your take on the Rey saying, people keep telling me they know me, and then she says, no one does.
And then they show Kylo Ren.
Yeah, and they show Kylo Ren.
And then you hear someone... Don't you hear someone saying something like I do or something like that? Or
I can't remember, but all I remember is her saying, people keep telling me they know me, and then she says, no one does.
I mean, there's a lot, obviously, you know, a lot of this is going to be obviously about him and her.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of back and forth between Kylo and Rey in this.
Yeah, I mean, and then you see the... I mean, the shot of the Star Destroyer rising up out of the ice.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm like, is like, because, you know, I mean,
and if you see some of those Star Destroyers in those shots, those are not First Order Star Destroyers.
No, they're old school.
Those are old school.
Yeah, and I'm like, is Darth Sidious like storing Star Destroyers in ice or something?
Well, one thing I have heard from, I think. I forgot what's her face at Nerdist, I think, wrote an article, like, if you read, and I read the Aftermath trilogy that, back when The Force Awakens, before The Force Awakens came out, that takes place, after the Return of the Jedi, when basically it has the Battle of Jakku and how the Empire falls.
Mm-hmm.
It is looking like there are little hints in that story that tie into this movie. You know, I mean, I don't want to get too spoilery because I know some people get pissy about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, is this a hidden fleet?
Yeah. Well, that's basically what I was saying.
Could it be full of clones?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
You know, and there's the one shot of what sure as heck looks sort of like Sidious in some sort of contraption looking down on Rey, right at minute 59 of the trailer.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, obviously if Darth Sidious is alive and kicking, he's not going to be in the best shape.
No.
Physically.
Or it could be a clone of him.
Yeah.
You know, go way back to, I guess, what's considered the Legends series now. I mean, one of the first comics when back in, what was it, the 90s, when Star Wars sort of returned in comics and book form, was the Dark Horse comic Star Wars Dark Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Emperor basically used clones, like he had already started, you know, the story was like the dark side was deteriorating his body so badly that he had to keep like jumping into clone bodies you know, so that idea has been out there, you know. If, you know, they may have, like, you know, made the Legends stuff non-canon, but, you know, and all the new Star Wars stuff, from Rebels to Resistance to the movies, they've taken things from the Legends stuff and used it in...
Kind of sprinkled it throughout the movies?
Trying to sprinkle it into all the new Star Wars stuff. So it could be,
That one scene where, again, Rey and Kylo are fighting on the what looks to be the wreckage of the Death Star.
Yeah.
That one way when Kylo Ren comes out of that like wall of like mist and fog, and the way he maneuvers his lightsaber.
Yeah.
For some reason, it gave me. I'm hoping we see a very different fighting style between Rey and Kylo in this movie. Because as much as their fighting style has been kind of weird. So I'm hoping we see a different lightsaber fighting style between those two in this movie for that reason. Just the way he maneuvered his lightsaber. That was, for some reason, that was oddly interesting to me because it almost signified that there's going to be some different choreography as far as the lightsaber fight. So that's one thing I'm hoping for.
Well, we know, based on the trailer, it looks like, that Rey has been training. We know based on what J.J. Abramson, they haven't given it exact, but it's the time between where his Last Jedi picked up right after The Force Awakens, years have passed, I believe.
I thought I saw a year.
It's at least a year, if not more.
Yeah.
I
can't remember where, but I saw somebody, an article or somebody say it between Last Jedi and Rise, it's going to be a year. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, and because it's, yeah, I mean, you have to have time for the Resistance to build up. And albeit the First Order, you know, they may be winning, we're winning at the end of the Last Jedi, but it's still Admiral Holdo basically destroyed what I believe is their largest fleet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they still had other Star Destroyers out there, but they were, you know, dealt a pretty heavy blow too at the end of Last Jedi.
Speaking of fleets, what do you think of that shot with the Millennium Falcon and all those ships behind it?
Oh, that looked. We're gonna get like.
I mean, I was
probably the most crazy Star Wars space battle ever.
Yeah,
I'm assuming in this movie.
There was even if you looked at that shot close, somebody found that there's a ghost.
From Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, those of that seen Star Wars Rebels.
There's Ghost, and then there's a bunch of other ships some people have pointed out that are in that.
Yeah.
From the original Star Wars movies, so like from the Rebellion itself.
Yeah. So that was a really cool shot in the trailer.
I mean, we know we're getting Lando back.
And Rose was in the trailer, wasn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, Rose was in the trailer. You know, I expect her, her character, you know, she'll be in this movie. You know, I wasn't expecting that to, go away. We were all in before this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as usual, we can make speculation all we want. God, I mean, how much speculation did we make in The Last Jedi, and God, how wrong were we?
Yeah.
I believe it will be at 2 hours and 35 minutes, it will be the longest Star Wars film. It's a little bit longer than The Last Jedi.
Which I'm okay with, you know, if it's the last movie in the Skywalker saga, you know, it's like Endgame, you know. Let's
no, and you know, I for me, period. You know, it's that this is coming to an end. But you know, but on the other hand, I want to see what happens next. I want to see, you know, a movie that's just, you know, Finn, Poe, Rey, and all that. Them, you know, doing something else, because it's you know, and maybe not, you know, the fate of the galaxy doesn't have to be at hand every time, you know. It's,
yeah, I don't think this is, obviously this isn't the end of Star Wars. Disney's not, you know.
No, and I hope maybe, you know, if it's so, you know, if it's a few years from now, I would love to pick their story back up, you know. Because, you know, things aren't just going to all be rosy and perfect. They're, you know,
yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. This movie's going to set up something. It'll be interesting to see.
We know other trilogies are being worked on, but they're supposed to be in different time periods with different characters. But, you know, in this day and age, after you spent all this time and money building up these characters, I don't know why you would walk away from them.
You're just going to have to wait another 30 years like they did between episodes 4, 5, and 6. And 1, 2, and 3.
I don't think we're going to have to wait that long.
No. No, it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, if we get any more Rey, if we get any more Poe. You know, I would like, you know, kind of like what they've been doing with Solo and Rogue One, I would like some origin stories, you know.
I want to see new stories. I'm sort of over going into prequel world.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all fine going, if they want to go back, like, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years to like the birth, or is it what it's, I think it's even more than that. What, 30,000 or 40,000 to like the birth of the Sith and the Jedi and stuff like that. You know, those are stories we've had in comics and books and video games.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of the Knights of the Old Republic era.
No, I'm kind of the same way. I would like to see more exploration, because the Star Wars universe is so huge.
Yeah.
There's no point in sticking to this linear story. I would like to see Disney and Lucasfilm, you know, explore more areas of Star Wars, because it's a huge universe, you know. So it'll be interesting to see where Disney Lucasfilm takes it after this.
Yeah, I mean, we got The Mandalorian, I mean, coming up November 12th on Disney Plus, and like, I guess some people got to see 30 minutes of it and were like,
loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's unlike anything anyone's ever seen Star Wars-wise before.
Yeah, I saw one, I forgot what website it was, but I saw one review, and whoever it was said, this is the Star Wars you guys have been wanting, or something like that. So I was like, okay, I'm even more excited.
I mean, here's the question. At some point, maybe in The Mandalorian or some other show, you know, you want the Disney Plus series I want to see live action? Finally give us Ahsoka.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really cool to see. It's amazing how big her fan base is, like how many people love her as a character.
No, I mean she you go to Star Wars, you go to Galaxy's Edge, and they have her lightsabers.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of Ahsoka merchandise. I mean, she is like become,
and Disney's,
she's only appeared
merchandising.
Only appeared in animated form and in books and comics, and she is hugely popular. And at some point, you need to do a live action version of her.
Yeah,
and I would think Disney Plus would be the perfect way
to introduce
to introduce that.
Yeah,
you know, we know at the end of the end of Rebels, you know, spoiler alert, she's still alive. After you know, Return of the Jedi. So, she could. You really want to blow people away? Have her show up in Force Awakens.
Yeah,
I mean, have her show up in Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
That would blow. Could you imagine if they cut to a shot on the ghost and
she's on it.
She's on it with God. I'm forgetting her name. But could you imagine that? That would blow everybody's mind.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the trailer. You know, I loved it. It was a great trailer. I didn't mean any ill will with that tweet saying it didn't do anything for me, as in it didn't hype me up any more than already I am, because, you know, I'm so excited for this movie. It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited to experience this in a packed movie theater, like in-game, and
oh yeah,
I'm ready for all the big surprises and the screams and the cheers. I'm excited for the movie.
I'm excited. You know, I mean, I was just watching The Last Jedi the other night, and I'm hype, and I'm, you know, I'm probably not gonna rewatch it. I don't know if we'll see. I will finally sit down and watch everything from beginning to end. It's hard for me to sit through those prequels.
come on, The Phantom Menace isn't that bad.
The Phantom Menace isn't that bad. Attack of the Clones, though.
Yeah, that's the one that I can't drag.
And what makes it even worse is when you watch the deleted scenes, and like, some of the deleted scenes are better than the stuff that's in the movie. And it's just like, how are you, were you thinking?
Yeah.
And then, of course, I mean, the last 45 minutes of Revenge of the Sith is operatic, crazy, yeah, nuts until that damn no. But other than that, moving on, but speaking of Star Wars, it's, you know, it's obviously one of our most anticipated movies here coming up for the end of the year, November, December, when we sort of have crazy movie season again.
Really quick, we kind of were running short on time here, but let's go through and just quickly kind of go over some of the movies coming up, kind of fall time frame that we're excited about.
Yeah, I'm gonna go through some of mine that I'm excited about. Sort of kicking off November 1st. It's actually coming in the theaters, but then it's gonna be on Netflix. The Irishman, the Martin Scorsese film with De Niro, mm-hmm, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that, and like I said, it's coming out in some theaters beginning in November, but then it'll be on Netflix at the end of the month, so I cannot wait to see that movie.
A mob movie with De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci, come on.
Yeah, yeah, we haven't had one of those since Casino back in the 90s, so
yeah,
I'm all for that. Terminator Dark Fate, I gotta say, for the first time in a long time, since T2, I am actually excited for a Terminator movie, and it's been a long time since I've been excited for a Terminator movie.
Yeah, no, I am too, and I've heard, so far from what I've heard from people that have, I don't know if they've seen the whole movie already, but I've heard it's actually pretty good, so I'm on board with this one. Check it out in the theater.
Everything I've seen so far, trailer-wise, I like it. Having Linda Hamilton back, Schwarzenegger is back, but... And James Cameron is involved as co-writer and producer. So this is, an actual continuation after 2T2. It's sort of wiping out everything else,
mm-hmm,
that had come after that they've tried so many times. I'm excited for that.
And I'll be honest, I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah.
I've had no interest in them.
No. Dr. Sleep, which is, the follow-up book to The Shining, and... I saw a trailer for this the other day. It looks creepy as all.
I don't know too much about this.
It's going to be Ewan McGregor playing Danny, all grown up now. He's targeted by a dangerous cult for his shining abilities. It's looking good. So I'm excited for that. Of course, I'm not really excited for Charlie's Angels, but who knows? Maybe I like Elizabeth Banks. I like Naomi Scott and Kristen Stewart. Hopefully this will be better than, say, Men in Black International.
Yeah.
Which
I never saw.
Yeah, I never saw, but no one I knew who saw it said it was good.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's coming out. I guess, Frozen 2, of course, is coming out November 22nd. And for someone who is not the biggest Frozen fan, I'm actually excited for this because I like, they look like they're doing something a little bit different. It's, you know, my thing was with, especially with animated sequels, you know, hopefully it's more Toy Story 2 and not Cars 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, but everything we've seen trailer wise, I mean, it's
the movie looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous, but the story, you know, at least what they revealed the story so far. I'm actually excited for this, and hey, if it looks like they're going to let Idina Menzel, you know, one of the best Broadway actresses of all time, sing more than one song in this film. So we know, I believe there's at least 8 songs in the movie. So
yeah,
you know, also coming out at the same time is Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And I got to say, when I saw that trailer for that one, I maybe teared up a little bit.
Yeah, I am excited, but like emotionally, like yes, at the same time.
If you haven't seen the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, see the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighborhood.
It's really good.
It's really good, and good luck getting through it without crying your eyes out at some point.
Yeah.
Another exciting movie for me, the Knives Out, Rian Johnson's movie follow-up after Star Wars Last Jedi, which is a murder mystery, and a lot of the early reviews of that have been very, very good. I love the trailer. I love anything sort of dark comic, very darkly comic, and witty. It looks like it's going to be pretty good. And of course, skipping to December, Jumanji: The Next Level. The last Jumanji movie shocked the crap out of me. Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle, because it was good.
It was such a fun movie. I loved it.
It was maybe the best video game movie ever.
Yeah.
Because they so nailed the whole, like, NPCs, and just, I mean, it was so well done, so funny.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a surprise to a lot of people. It was actually a really fun movie.
Yeah, because we went, you know, one of our traditions a lot of times is to go to a movie on Christmas Eve, and we were like, it's like, well, let's go see Jumanji. And I went in, I was like, oh, okay. And then we were like, oh my God, this was actually good. So fingers crossed, you know, this will be pretty good. And of course, Star Wars, December 20th, shocking. And I believe that's I'm, you know, the umpteenth version of Little Women comes out Christmas Day. but you know, it's you know, there's a couple other movies coming out, but those are the big ones. So it's a pretty, God, November is very stacked.
Yeah, now that we're actually sitting here talking about it, I forgot how packed November is with movies.
This was a little bit of a refresher for me. We're not going to bring up Cats because I am still trying to
terrified.
Burn that image of that trailer off of my eyes, because it's so horrifying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that does in the box office.
Yeah, it comes out that, I mean, I guess they're thinking counter programming to Last Jedi, but we'll see. Because I mean, I don't know how many people really thought that trailer didn't creep them out.
Yeah, it's weird. But you know, who knows? Maybe we'll be surprised. You know.
Yeah. So.
But anyways, everybody was slightly creeped out with that Cats trailer.
And one last thing I'm looking forward to, even though it's out already, but it won't be coming wide until I think November, is Jojo Rabbit, the new Taika Waititi film, where it's like very weird. It's like it's a kid growing up in Nazi Germany, and his imaginary friend is Hitler. And if you've seen the trailer, it looks hilarious and crazy at the same time. And, it's Taika Waititi, so everything he's done has been amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a smaller film that I'm excited to see. So, plenty of movies.
Yeah. No, that was a good refresher for me. That was a good refresher for me, because I don't pay attention to upcoming movies unless they're really big.
Yeah.
Like the Star Wars and the Marvels and the, you know, what have you. So this was a good refresher for me to kind of see what's coming up and to get ready for that. which is nice because I haven't been to the movies in a while. Now that I think about it, I've gone, you know, with Halloween Horror Nights and everything, you know, that's basically my life this time of the year.
Yeah, I haven't used my A-list, AMC A-list that much lately.
I haven't either. You're not alone. So it'll be nice to, you know, to cure our post-Halloween Horror Nights depression with some movies. So, there's some good stuff coming out. So, all right. As you guys heard at last recording, Barry's dog, Chloe, wasn't doing too well. And for those of you that follow Barry on Twitter and are friends with him on Facebook, if you listen to this, she passed away. So I'm going to kind of let Barry kind of talk about that for a few minutes before we wrap things up here. So because he just wanted to have a few moments to chat about that. So,
yeah, I mean... Sin and I just really want to thank everyone who reached out on social media and sent us messages and left us comments and thank you for all your thoughts. And it has been one of the toughest weeks of my entire life. I mean, Sin and I don't have kids, have no interest in having kids, and Chloe, Dexter, and Oishi are basically our three fuzzy children. And Sin's been a part of Chloe's. Chloe, was a little over 8.5 years old, and with dogs, you hope you can get them to 10. And then it's bonus time. And, Chloe, since July, has been sick. And she would get better, and then she'd get sick again. And she'd get better, and she'd get sick again. And I just, she didn't have cancer or anything. It's just her immune system was shot. And as much as she still wanted to stay, the story, Sin got home before I did, and she was not doing well, and that little trooper held on until I could get home.
Yeah.
And I had a good hour and a half with her before she basically passed away in my arms.
Because you guys were gonna take her to the hospital that night, because you texted me.
Yeah, we were gonna take her because I didn't want her to be in pain anymore, but she made the choice, so I didn't have to make the choice. And as awful as it was definitely a little easier than but she fought so hard. And I realize now that we were lucky we got an extra 3.5 months with her, as horrible as it is. And you didn't want to think that she was going to go, but I just wanted to thank everybody. It was very nice of everybody, and you're going to continue to see pictures of her for a while, because it's going to be a while before I get over this. And
it's hard, and I've lost pets, and it's not easy for anybody to deal with a loss like this. And there's people out there, like you mentioned, they don't want to have kids, they have no interest in having kids, so their pets are basically their kids. So me, I have kids. So I can't, I love my dog Bungie. He's the sweetest, dopiest puppy in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'll be absolutely heartbroken when he passes away.
Yeah.
But there's another level there for people that have these that extra attachment to their pets that basically are their kids.
Sin, I am probably going to screw up what she said, but it's they're only here for a short amount of time. And you are their entire world to them. And, they love you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's sort of the the bargain you're making. You're getting this animal that just isn't, for most people, at least in my, there's nothing but, wants to give you nothing but pure love.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only here for a short amount of time. And
just to cover your butt, I got her post right here on Facebook. She said, please take a moment to love on your pet right now, just in memory of Chloe. To them, we are their entire world. They are only here for a moment in our lives and should be cherished. So
yeah,
that's what she had.
So
I remember that you, I remember when you started mentioning that, yeah, she posted yeah. that, and that was really sweet. So
spend some time with your cat, your dog, whatever.
Lizard, snake, just, whatever your,
yeah.
whatever your preference of pet is.
And just cherish it, because yeah. it's only there for a certain, they're only there for a certain amount of time. So it's, you know, I will probably miss her every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But, it'll get better at some point. But, thank you to everyone for reaching out, and, still, even almost a week later now, people are still, you know.
Yeah, I posted
saying things.
I posted. Mm-hmm. I think I initially posted, you know, just for people to keep you in your thoughts and prayers, but everybody thought you were sick.
Yeah, well, I mean, and like a day and a half before, I posted on Facebook
that, yeah,
you know, things were not looking good.
No. Some people got the hint that, you know, something happened yeah. to Chloe.
So
people thought that, like, you were sick or something. And I was like, no, Barry's fine. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to talk about it on social media, but I kind of wanted to give people a heads up. You know, so yeah, you know, thank you to everybody that reached out to me, you know, that was concerned about Barry, and for the most part, he was fine.
I mean people I don't share a lot of personal stuff to social media, but a lot of people, you know, I posted countless pictures of the dogs. So it's
and even I'm careful with things like that, you know, like I said, I didn't want to make the announcement on Twitter that Chloe had passed away. I wanted to leave that up to you, because, you know, that's your responsibility, and whether you chose to
do it or not. I decided to do it that night, because it just, I wanted to get it out there, and I had already talked to every family and friend who needed to know before I said anything publicly. And it's, you know, if you don't like doggy pictures, then don't follow me, because you're going to continue to be inundated with doggy pictures and inundated with pictures of Chloe. They're not going anywhere. Because we, you know, now Sin and I are going through all of our phones and our computers and trying to sort of get all of Chloe's pictures and videos in one spot, and we're already finding, like, stuff we've never posted before.
You know, and that's always the, I don't want to say, I was going to say fun, but I guess it is kind of fun. It's nice to go back and, you know, once you're not over completely, but once you've moved on from a pet passing away, you know, even a human, you know, even when a family member passes away, you know, the memories are something that, you know, you can always cherish and get a good laugh.
She's there. I mean, she's in two. I've posted them. We have two giant pieces of commissioned artwork we have. One of them's in my header on Twitter.
Haunted Mansion
that have Chloe in them.
Yeah.
You know, they're hanging up. One's hanging up in my bedroom and one's hanging up in our living room. And, you know, those aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, those will be around for a very long time. So that's.
I'm probably going to have one other piece of artwork here probably in the next few months commissioned with her in it.
I completely forgot about the Haunted Mansion one. So that's really cool that you guys got that done.
Those are going to be, well, no, I'm going to say some people will be getting that artwork this year. So,
I wanted to give Barry a few minutes to chat about, Chloe, and, sorry to end the podcast on such a somber note, but
it's been sort of a somber week for us here. So
yeah, you know, me too. For for reasons that, you know, I'm not open to discussing, but, you know, it's been a rough week for both of us, so
and you know, and Emily, if she would hear, she would go on and on about Chloe, because Emily babysat Chloe, doggy-sitted Chloe a lot, and she adores Chloe, so it's she had sort of a rough week too. But also I want to thank her. If she was here, I'd thank her to my face. I've already thanked her to her face, but she really, she was great this past weekend, because Sim was out of town, and she got me out of the house and out having fun. So
yeah,
I believe that is it. Thank you. Like I said, thank you everybody. Sin and I, thank you so much. So we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, ThrillGeek.com, for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available wherever you can get a podcast. You can get the Thrill Geek podcast.
Yeah, and hey, we're on this little thing called TikTok now.
Yeah, I forgot about.
If you're
into this, still need to download that.
So. Yeah, if you're into this whole TikTok thing, I've just been with no rhyme or reason posting pretty much all Halloween Horror Nights 29 videos on our TikTok. You can follow us there at Thrill Geek as well.
Wait till I download and get on there and start goofing off.
we have one video that's a Zombieland one. It got like over, I'm looking at it right now. It's got 78,000 views. It's so bizarre how this TikTok works. But anyways, so if you have a TikTok, follow us on there. We'll continue to play around with it. I'm getting a pretty steady stream of followers, so, you know, maybe we'll stick with it and, you know, see how that does. So anyways, all right, let's get out of here. We've been chatting for quite a while. So thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
See you in the parks.